sermons in December. So if you think I'm repeating myself, you're right. But stay with me because I'm sharing something special from God this morning, and some things bear repeating. So listen to me. Stay focused because this is going to be different. Written approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ is the prophetic book of Micah, which of course is found in the Old Testament. I'm going to read one of the two scriptures that stand out above the rest in this book. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Or another translation speaks, his appearances are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So the prophet Micah was saying here, a ruler is going to come out of Bethlehem who already existed before the beginning of time. Interesting for those who don't believe Jesus is God, isn't it? Now turn with me to a New Testament scripture, Luke 2, verses 4 to 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Mary placed him, Jesus, whose appearances are from long ago, from the days of eternity, in a manger. Now we know that a manger is a feeding trough for animals. In ancient Palestine, the stable was attached to the owner's house and was always furnished with a manger. As I said before, a manger was used to feed the domesticated animals, donkeys, horses, camels, cows, goats, etc. This precious little Hebrew baby, whose appearances are from the days of eternity, God, in other words, was wrapped in strips of cloth by his young virgin mother and placed in a manger, placed in a feeding trough for animals. Not the cleanest place for a mother to lay down her newborn babe to sleep, but that was her only option. There was nowhere else to put him. Mary certainly would have cleaned it out for Jesus. Nevertheless, the concept of the one whose appearances are from the days of eternity being laid to rest in a feeding trough for animals is hard to grasp, isn't it? It is. But then again, when studying the life of Jesus, is it really? Could we possibly surmise that there was a significant, symbolic, spiritual reason why Jesus, when he came to earth in human form, was placed in a feeding trough? I think we can, and that's why I'm giving you this sermon today. Interestingly, the town in which Jesus was born was, of course, called Bethlehem. As we've just read, it was prophesied by Micah that the Savior of the world would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a Hebrew name meaning house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means, house of bread. Okay, let's leave this scene and go to another scene some 30 years later. Let us turn to another scripture in John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to the people, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, it needs to be noted that on the previous day to Jesus speaking these profound words, "I am the bread of life," something incredible had taken place which prompted him to say on the next day, "I am the bread of life." On the previous day, Jesus performed an amazing miracle or sign of feeding 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He fed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, around the time of this miracle, Jesus was attracting many people to himself because of the miracles he was performing. Thousands of people came to see the miracles or signs that Jesus demonstrated. In the Gospel of John, miracles are called signs. Signs. Let me make it clear that every miracle is a sign. Every miracle demonstrates something that God wants us to know or understand. Signs are miraculous events that are fully intended on God's part. They're not mistakes. He intends them. Signs advertise, don't they, Marinda? You're in this business. Signs advertise and tell us something in the spiritual realm. Signs of God advertise or tell us something in the spiritual realms. If you've ever received a miracle in your life, then God is telling you something by that miracle. For example, when I was an 11-year-old girl, I had a terrible case of eczema on my scalp and behind my ears. The doctor tried everything that was available back then, but nothing cleared up the eczema. It was disgusting. As a last resort, the doctor told me I'd have to have my head shaved to give my scalp the best chance of healing. I wasn't happy about that as an 11-year-old girl. But the next weekend, I was prayed for on a Sunday night at church. And when I woke the next morning, I was totally healed. My eczema had vanished overnight, never to return. Do you know what God was telling me by this sign? He was saying, "Pamela, I'm your healer. I'm your healer." This is one of the reasons why when I was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor, I never had 1 second of fear, not one, because God had already told me all those years ago that He is my healer. He's going to look after me no matter what. I had the same experience when my son Ryan, he was only 15 months old. Someone had just poured out a glass of or a cup of boiling water straight out of the kettle into a cup. He comes running up as a 15-month-old. I just brought Elise home from hospital. She'd just been born. And he pulled the cup and it went all over his face, all over his ear, all over his shoulder. And he screamed. Well, we shot him under the cold water, and then we took him to hospital. By the time I got to hospital, he didn't even have a pink mark on his face. He was, and it was really embarrassing because I wish God had told me he'd healed him before I got into emergency, you know. But God had healed my son. Jesus came and performed signs because God was revealing himself to the people. The miracles of Jesus were spiritual signs for people to see and experience and learn from. Jesus was miraculously healing the sick, and people came to see these signs. But the question is, were they really learning from the signs? In this story, Jesus performed the amazing sign of feeding 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Who would have liked to have seen that? That would have been amazing. Everyone who saw this sign was affected by it because he provided food for everyone out of just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Over 5,000 people benefited from this sign. In most miracles or sign, only one or a few people would directly benefit because one person will be healed. But all who were present on this day took part in this miracle. Everyone experienced the sign. Everyone felt the sign. Because at the end of the day, everyone had full stomachs. And that bread would have been better than Brumby's bread. That's really hard to say fast. Brumby bread. It would have been delicious. I tell you, those people didn't know just how blessed they were. But after Jesus performed these miraculous sign of multiplying the bread and fish, he withdrew from the crowd and went over to the other side of the lake nearby. The next day, when the crowd whom Jesus had fed saw that he was no longer on their side of the lake, they got into boats and crossed over to where Jesus was. But when they came to Jesus, he immediately recognize the real motive for the crowd seeking him out. Jesus knew that they hadn't fully understood the spiritual significance of the sign they had witnessed the previous day. They came to Jesus because their physical hunger had been satisfied the day before, and they were moved by their full bellies and not by full hearts. Jesus, with this miraculous sign, was attempting to turn their attention to something incredibly significant. You know, we get people often coming to our church door for food parcels, and we've got a really good food bank ministry, food parcel ministry in this church. It is really good. But of recent times, we've decided people want us to give them some food, and we give them the best parcels. My brother Stephen does a brilliant job with food parcels. He really puts a lot of thought in it, and it's not just food bank food. He goes to Coles, he goes to Aldi, he goes to Woolies. He gets the best food. So we give some good parcels. But you know what? I know that I can feed someone physically, but they've still got the same spiritual hunger. So of recent times, we said, yeah, we'll give you a parcel, but you've got to come to church on Sunday morning. Come to church, and that has two benefits. Number one, we're not getting strange people in this church when Vicky and I are on our own. But they come when the church is full of people. And also, they really need to hear the Word of God, don't they? Isn't that really why we're here? The Word of God. So we say, come into church, come and receive your parcel, and come and listen to what we've got to say. Most people don't want to. They just want the parcel. They just want the food. That's how Jesus was feeling on this day. They came to Jesus because their physical hunger had been satisfied, but their hearts were still empty. Jesus, with this miraculous sign, was attempting to turn their attention to something incredibly significant. The truth is that with this amazing sign, which had affected so many people, Jesus was revealing who he was. He was pointing the way to the true bread, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread that was placed in a feeding trough in a town called the House of Bread some 30 years previous. The crowd's thoughts were earthbound. But Jesus, with this sign, wanted to raise their thoughts to heaven and to the eternal life, which is inextricably linked with himself. Jesus told them that the natural food they were seeking would perish. But there is another kind of food which remains forever and ever and ever and gives eternal life. The bread of which he speaks isn't something like the manna that was provided for the Jews in the time of Moses, which they could pick up and eat and only satisfy for a short period. The bread that he was speaking about is nothing less than himself. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Jesus himself is the food, the sustenance that nourishes spiritual life. Nothing else can feed spiritual life. Nothing. It is only from this bread that men obtain eternal life. Jesus said, "He who comes to me." He who comes to me. In other words, move away from the old life with its famine and total inability to satisfy the soul. Move away from it and come to me. You can't come to Jesus unless you move away from what you are standing with. Let it go, let it go. Move away and come. Then you will never go hungry. And if you believe, you will never be thirsty. No room is left for spiritual hunger and thirst after coming to Jesus and truly receiving. No, no, no. He totally satisfies us. Hey, listen, the feeding trough, the manger is still full of grain for our spiritual nourishment. Hallelujah. Jesus totally satisfies spiritual hunger. Not Jesus and Buddha, not Jesus and Muhammad, not Jesus and a clairvoyant, not Jesus and what the signs say about your future, not Jesus and your bank account, not Jesus and a lotto ticket. And I know some of you were hoping this week. Actually, I saw on telly that they did a study of people who win really big in lotto, and they said 70% of people who win really big after 5 years have lost all the money and are miserable. 70%! That's pretty high stats. Just as well you didn't win this week. Not Jesus and a lotto ticket, not Jesus and the stock market, not Jesus and your investments, not Jesus and junk food, not Jesus and education, not Jesus and your television. It is Jesus only that satisfies. But that satisfaction will never become yours if you don't move away from the other junk and believe and trust in him and him alone. There was a woman in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth named Naomi, who along with her family left the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go and find bread somewhere else. You see, things were a little dry in Bethlehem. They were having a lean time. In our Christian walk, it seems that sometimes we go through spiritual periods of drought and lean times. We heard about someone's last week in that brilliant sermon that Robert preached last week. Lean time. Sometimes it's an effort coming to church and fellowshipping. It's an effort to worship God. It's an effort to read your Bible. But the sad thing for Naomi is that she left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and experienced great loss and pain because of her choice in leaving. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She lost one of her daughter-in-laws. She lost everything. The Bible tells us that she came back to Bethlehem a bitter woman. So bitter, in fact, that they gave her another name, Mara, which means bitter. Christians, even though it may feel like the house of bread has become a little lean, don't leave Jesus and go elsewhere. Don't. The food isn't better in other places. The truth is, other places or other choices will leave you with bitter experiences like Naomi. Stay with Jesus, the bread of life. Stay in his house of bread. The best bread was placed in a feeding trough 2,000 years ago in the house of bread. That's our miracle. That's our sign. Let's see it for what it is. Amen? Amen. Let's see it. Stick with Jesus. Stick with the one whose appearances are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Are you spiritually hungry? Move away from the junk. I said, move away and come to Jesus. You can't come to Jesus if you're not moving away. Some of you are standing next to your junk and screaming, you come to me, Jesus. You come to me. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, no, you come to me. You come to me. You leave that stuff and you come to me and I will deal with you. Come to Jesus this morning. Let us pray. God, you are the bread of life. You are our sustenance. You are all we need. Lord, I pray that all present this morning will take note of the precious sign that you've given us and move away from the stinky, smelly, poisonous rubbish dump of our lives to come and taste the bread of life. While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, maybe you've never tasted the true bread of life. Well, God says in the Bible to taste and see that he is good. God tells you to taste and see that he is good. Now is the time, before we have communion together, to spiritually taste and see Jesus. If you want to come to Jesus today and make him your Lord, to let go of all the rubbish and start afresh with the Savior who died for your sins, I would like to pray for you. I've spoken so very clearly. There's no doubting in what I've said. You need to respond to this message. I want to pray for you. Please let me do this now. If you raise your hand right now, I will pray for you that you will taste and see Jesus and know him in a very real way. Don't delay. Let me pray for you. Is there anyone who you know? Yes, I can see that hand. Is there anybody else? Yes, I can see that hand. Yes, I can see that hand. Is there anybody else? I'd love to pray for you because Jesus is speaking to you. So yes, I can see that hand. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to pray for you that those who have raised their hand, this prayer is for you. You claim it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to this earth as an amazing sign of your love for us. We acknowledge today that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the bread of life. And those people who have raised their hands will today, at this very moment, taste and see your goodness towards them. Father, open their spiritual eyes to see you right now. May your Holy Spirit come upon them in such a powerful way that they will never, ever, ever be able to let you go. Holy Spirit, just touch the hearts right now as they open their hearts to taste and see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right now, we're going to demonstrate our faith in the bread of life by eating some fresh bread and drinking a cup of grape juice together. These emblems of bread and juice signify in the natural what we've done in the spiritual. Jesus is in us. He's a part of us, as the bread will be, and his blood has washed our sins away, which is demonstrated in the cup. And as we share this communion together, let us give our full attention to the bread of life. Now, this is where it gets different. Parents, your children are waiting for you in children's church, for you to come and pick them up and bring them into the hall, back to where you're sitting with them. They've actually got special cups, communion cups, that they've been decorating today, and they're going to have communion with us, and all of us are going to eat a whole fresh roll together, okay? So parents, right now, I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes. Go and get your children. I know it could be a little bit noisy, but we can handle that. We're going to do communion as